All right, I wanted to make sure, and just so I know, Dwayne, that you're not asking people to wear a mask when we're seated now away from other people, right? Unless you want to?
As long as we've got good space.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so if you're far enough away from someone that's not in your family and you're not in their face or something, you don't want to wear a mask, okay. I'll try not to spit too far while I'm up here. I don't think I've ever been known to do that, but some people do. I can think of a few evangelists that kind of foamed at the mouth when they talked. Okay, we're still in Proverbs. We're going to try to move through most of the rest of the book this morning. And as most of you know, anyhow, we're moving through the entire Old Testament in 52 weeks. So we're hitting the high points and trying to make application from things that we draw out from that. Just a couple of quick words about last week. The book of, in the first chapter of Proverbs, of course written by Solomon, the very, very first few verses gives us the reasons why Proverbs is written, especially the second verse, to know wisdom and instruction and perceive the words of understanding. And throughout the book of Proverbs, wisdom is the main topic. It's the main thing that Solomon wants the student, whether it was his son then, all Israel, and us now, anyone that reads it, the main focus is to get wisdom, get understanding. And what again is wisdom? What's one of the definitions we use for wisdom? Correct application of knowledge. Okay. And we talked about wisdom being it's a process of, to get wisdom, it's a process. We don't just pray for it and then the next day it shows up. Now God may, having said that, if we are seeking wisdom and we're a godly person and we pray for wisdom about a certain matter, it might show up the next day. But when I say God won't give us wisdom, I mean overnight, I mean the way He did Solomon. We're not going to know everything overnight. And we're not going to know everything even by the time we die. But it's a process of how we acquire it. And one of the things we need to remember about Proverbs is Solomon says the same thing many times in different ways, and sometimes pretty much the same way. Repetition. Let's think about that for just a minute. What is the value of repetition, and why did Solomon use repetition so much? Okay. Okay. It's a tool, isn't it? It's a tool to gain knowledge and understanding. In this case, wisdom. It's a tool to gain those things. We meet on the first day of every week, and we observe the Lord's Supper. That's repetition, but it might be in a different. It might be a little bit different reason. Yes, we still learn things, but the value, I think, in the repetition of maybe worship every first day of the week and the Lord's Supper is we continue to, well, I don't know how to put it. We continue to keep our faith strong. We continue to be built up. Whereas in reading the Proverbs, it's more of a learning process. And another thing that I think we need to remember about Proverbs, and this is my opinion, but and if you have a different one, speak up. But I think that most of the Proverbs are to be taken at face value. They're literal writings, and they're not a big mystery. It's not some dark saying. Will you read it for what it is? And so there are some exceptions, but most of them are just straight good advice from Solomon. And so by reading them, we are studying them. At least that works for me. So we mentioned repetition. There's a phrase that goes through the book of Proverbs a lot. Well, there's several of them. But what do you think one of the most important phrases is?
Hear my instruction.
Hear my instruction. Okay. That is correct. Any others? The one I had in mind was fear of the Lord. Okay. Fear of the Lord. Why would Solomon repeat that so many times? It is the very beginning. And it's because of its importance. So let's talk for just a minute before we launch out into the chapters about fear. What is this particular fear that Solomon is referring to? This fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. In that, and I think you're right, and I think it includes a lot of different words. It is reverence, respect, it's awe, it's inspiration, maybe some curiosity. I mean, I have a lot of curiosity when we study the book of Genesis. And the more I study, the more curious I become about that, and it's ultimately about, it's about God. And We are told of the terror of the Lord. When we sin, then we should be afraid. So I think all of those things really, to me, are defined by the fear of the Lord. And we should have this desire to learn more and more about God as we grow older, as the more we understand and obey Him, or the more we understand, the more we should want to obey Him. And as we do that, then we have the correct building blocks in place to reach wisdom. All right, any thoughts before we go on? Yeah, probably did a lot too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. But if we do things in repetition and forget the respect, then we're in trouble.
Yeah.
If you can say your prayers through your sleep, just this is what I've always said. If you sing a song, this is what I always say. If you do it in your sleep, you've lost the respect.
Yeah. And when you look at the big picture of repetition, I mean, we're repeating right now by being here this morning. But even though you do the same things, if you still have the heartfelt meaning behind it, then it's okay.
And that's what a lot of people say about the
Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I used to say almost the same prayer. But I believe, I don't know, God knows, but I think his heart was hopefully thinking of all of those things. So not necessarily bad, but it could be.
Yeah. We need to be careful that we still have the feeling and behind it. And, I agree with you. People say this about the Lord's Supper, that it just becomes repetitious. Well, I think a good answer for that is, you know, ask that person if they've had someone close to them die. How do they feel when they remember them? Doesn't it still hurt? Maybe not as much, but it's still a real emotion, isn't it? Okay. We're going to, what I've done here was, since there's no way we can really go into detail in 2 weeks, is I just went through most of the chapters, starting at chapter 1, and I just typed a few words about what meaning of that chapter, the meaning that jumped out to me anyhow. And as we go through here, if you have something, a point you want to make, let's make it, and we'll talk about it. And you'll find, I'm sure, many, many verses that are easy to memorize and remember in Proverbs, and those, when we read those, they'll jump to your mind. So chapter 1, as we said, is an explanation of why the Proverbs are written and a warning to scoffers. Chapter number 2, the source of wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? And a warning of the immoral woman. And that, again, is something that's in one of the subjects that is completely through the book of Proverbs. Solomon warns of the immoral woman, and you know, I haven't studied a lot on it, but obviously that was a character flaw of Solomon, at least later in his life. And as to when the books of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon were written, that might be something to work on there. It would seem to me that Ecclesiastes was probably written after the book of Proverbs, but in the Song of Solomon, obviously, when he took this Shulamite woman as his bride, whenever that was in his life. But he continually warns about he calls her the immoral woman and the harlot. But really, in the broad sense, this is sexual immorality, whether it's a man or a woman. Okay. Chapter 3, the source of wisdom. That's chapter 2. Chapter 3 is instruction for the young to trust and honor the Lord and to seek wisdom. Here's two good verses in chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. God has all wisdom. He is, we talked about God being omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And he is all and is everywhere and sees all. Chapter 4 is an instruction of the young to seek wisdom. And as we go through these chapters, as you look through the verses of the chapter with me, if you see a verse that you want, that strikes you, you want to make a comment on, please do that. And for the young, you know, it starts with instruction. As we raise our little ones, we instruct them, we correct them, and there are several verses on that. And then they start to learn. As they learn more, then they gain knowledge, don't they? Because they've been instructed in the right way, they start to gain knowledge. And then they later on, they can gain wisdom. Another very good verse in chapter 4 is verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. And remember, that's this verses 4 through 9 was what David taught Solomon when Solomon was a boy. And it seems to me that's probably why Solomon asked for wisdom when God gave him his wish, basically. He said, what do you want, Solomon? You're the king. I'll give you whatever you want. And he asked for wisdom. And I think one reason he did is because his dad told him to. He taught him to. And by asking for wisdom, he got everything. God gave him wisdom. God gave him riches, power, such as no man has ever seen.
You're right. He had to have wisdom to even ask.
Yeah. He had to have some amount. He certainly was not foolish by doing that. Okay, chapter 5 is instruction for the young man to avoid the immoral woman. And I don't know that I'll read any of those verses unless you want to look at one. I've got some I want to read later on that really describe. They describe the simple person. And we talked about that a little bit last week. Solomon uses the term simple to define certain people. What's another word that was used to be used for that word? We don't hear much anymore from England, maybe? Well, no. That wasn't what I was thinking about. Simpleton. Did that come from England, Emily? Is that where the... Okay. But we don't use that word much anymore, but a simpleton... we think of is as a person that's just, they don't know much of anything. And it may be that they're innocent, they just are young and haven't learned yet, or maybe they're older and they still haven't learned. But Solomon did not want the Israelite people to be simple. He wanted them to be wise. He wanted them to learn. So they would not sin. So they would not stumble. It wasn't a thing of pride. He just wanted them to learn. Okay, chapter 6. Let's look at chapter 6 is where we find the seven things that the Lord hates. Or it said, verse 16, six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. See, Solomon repeats himself right here, doesn't he? He says a lying tongue, and then he says a false witness who speaks lies. So lying is condemned through the book of Proverbs many times and twice here in these few verses. Let's think about these for just a minute. What's a proud look? What would that include? Huh?
Arrogance.
Arrogance, right. And what does Solomon say about pride? Somebody quote that verse. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And it's said different. It's said two or three times, I think, in different ways. Okay.
And for us to shine our light that the world can see in our good works. A proud look is just want to build a wall in front of that. You won't see it. You won't be approached.
Okay, good thought. Okay, a lying tongue really doesn't need any explanation. It's pretty simple. Hands that shed innocent blood, what's that?
Murder.
A heart that devises wicked plans. Now, what kind of a person do you think of when you think of that?
Deceiver.
Someone, and he describes that in the, it's the first chapter, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Okay, that's a description there. Feet that are swift and running to evil. Well, I guess that's just someone that is always wanting to do what is wrong instead of what is right. could be many definitions of that, I'm sure.
I think maybe it's somebody also that doesn't think before they act.
Okay.
I think of like a mob mentality. They're willing to join the crowd and maybe do what's wrong without thinking about the consequences. Just someone who doesn't engage brain before they engage.
Yeah, we see a lot of that today, don't we? False witness who speaks lies, lying again, and one who sows discord among the brethren, a troublemaker, a gossiper.
I kind of view these as two different things. The lying tongue, just flat out lying, but I kind of view the false witness as a you are actually lying to tear someone else down, to affect someone else's opinion, to slander them or seems to me like it's actually a little bit different because it's more malice intent.
I think it is different, and that's why it's listed that way.
I think there's just a lot of people that are willing to tell something that's not true to get their agenda across.
Yeah, further.
That's happening all the time.
They think they're bettering themselves. Okay, we need to move on here. In the next chapter, chapter 7, Solomon describes the way of the harlot. Let's read verses 6 through 15. Would someone want to read that? I thought this was just a really good... Just picture this in your mind. Verse 6 through 15.
For at the window of my house I looked through my lattice, and saw among the simple I perceived and loved the youth. A young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him, with the attire of a harlot, and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious, her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, working at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me, today I have paid my vows. So I come out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you.
Okay, and I'll read 21 through 23. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Now, is that a description of a simpleton or what? He calls him simple, doesn't he? And he's warning him. Wake up, look at this. This is what's happening. And I can just see Solomon, and he very well may have observed this very thing. This may not be... just some speech to teach someone. This may be something he very well saw. This young man walking down the street and a harlot reaching out to grab him. Okay.
Probably no mistake that he uses the pronoun he, because men don't usually do that. Usually there's some women.
Yeah.
Not
right. Yeah. And in verse 22 and 23 just shows the payment. And that's death. Okay, let's go on to the next chapter 8. The value of wisdom. And I have verse 22 through 31 is where that's listed. We probably got to, I'll read that. And this is talking about wisdom. When he says me, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. So God has always possessed wisdom, all wisdom, before creation. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth where there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. That's a very good description of wisdom and how God has always possessed it and used it, and used it to create us.
So he personalized it as a person, but it's actually one of God's great characters.
Right. Chapter 9, the harlot, and to avoid scoffers. There's several times in the book of Proverbs, Solomon basically says, don't argue with scoffers. It doesn't matter what you say to them. You're not going to change their thought. Don't waste your time, basically, with someone who has no use for God. Verses 7 and 8, he who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. Verse 8, do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. But if you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Why is that? Why is a wise man and a just man, why will they increase? Because they want to know the truth. They want to know how to correctly serve God. They want to correct faults in themselves if they have a fault, problems that they have. They want to correct it, but a scoffer has no use for the truth. There's that verse 10, there's that phrase again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, chapter 10, and chapter 11 are just, I just call it various short proverbs. Many different subjects. He just goes back and forth, talking about different things. There's a verse that struck me in chapter 11, verse 22. Turn and read that. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Now, can't you just imagine a gold ring in a pig's nose? And that's like a beautiful woman that's got a loud mouth. Or, you know, there's other ways to describe that, but someone who lacks discretion. But, you know, here's this beautiful golden ring, and where's it at? In the pig's nose. So, you know, the pig ruins the ring of gold, and the woman's attitude ruins her beauty, doesn't it? Okay. Chapter 12, various proverbs again. He talks about labor and reward, foolishness, deceit, and we are to choose our friends carefully. And he also talked about that, choosing your friends. Well, that was in chapter 1. Let's see. Well, there's several times in the book of Proverbs that he talks about not being surety for a friend. And the way that it's written sometimes is a little bit hard to understand, but I think basically Solomon is saying, you better be extremely careful if you shake hands with a stranger, take a pledge for a stranger. In other words, if you co-sign a loan for someone you don't know anything about, you're going to be in trouble. That would be one example of that. Don't be surety or collateral for someone that you know nothing about. Don't enter into agreements with people that are evil. And then in one chapter he says, if you do, you need to get out of it as quickly as you can. You need to avoid that.
Oh, I'd like chapter or verse 1 of chapter 12. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, whoever hates correction is stupid.
Right.
Very blunt and to the point.
Yep. Okay, that what I was just talking about, one of the verses in chapter 11, verse 15. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. All right, let's go on to chapter 13. We are to heed instruction, and we're to discipline our children. I've got three verses I want to read here. He talks quite often about instruction and correction of children. Verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Verse 18, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. Verse 24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. One verse says, he says plainly, if you beat your son with a rod, you will not kill him. But I can't remember the rest of it. Maybe we'll get to it here in a minute. Maybe. Chapter 14, wisdom versus foolishness. Many statements there about wisdom versus foolishness. The ways thereof are the end of death. Is that in that chapter? I remember reading it, but there's so many verses like that. If I wrote them all down, yeah, we're almost out of time already. Let's look at chapter 15. There's a verse or two here we really need to have our kids memorize. 1-3, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. The omnipresence of God, He is everywhere. He sees all. Verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and honor, and before honor is humility. Chapter 16, wisdom is better than gold. And write the rest of it down. Silver, where is that at? Yeah, right. What verse is that?
16.
Okay, 16 and 16. Yep. And pride goeth before destruction. That's verse 18. Pride goes before destruction in a haughty spirit before a fall. Chapter 17 through 19 are various proverbs. Chapter 20, wine and strong drink will lead you astray. And laziness and deceit are condemned. Chapter 21, pleasure and waste brings poverty. Verse 17, laziness and liars are condemned. Verse 17, he who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Chapter 22, instruction and discipline of children. Verse 1 is a really good verse for our kids. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Verse 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Just a couple more here, and then we'll close. Chapter 23, do not strive to be rich. Discipline your children. Drunkenness is condemned. And that's in verses 29 through 35. If you're going to be a drunk, you're going to pay for it. If you drink, you're going to pay for it. For some people want to make a big distinction in between drinking and getting drunk. Well, if you drink, you're going to get drunk. That's just what it is. It's going to happen. Maybe not every time, but it's going to happen, and you'll pay for it if you do that. And last chapter 24, laziness is condemned again in verses 30 through 34. Solomon wanted his people to be wise. He wanted them to work. He wanted them not to fall into the paths of sin and to learn about the Creator. We could go on there. The last two Proverbs were not written by Solomon, and you can read that. We'll get into Ecclesiastes next week. Thank you for your comments. There's too much to cover.